Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's my pleasure to once again be able to study the Word of God with you virtually. And I know that all of us are looking forward and are circling that March, May 31st. It would be bad if it was March. That May 31st return date to our building. Very much look forward to that. Look forward to being with you and being before you in person once again. Go ahead and take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read there in verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 19, you can take your little red ribbon and you can mark it because we'll keep coming back to this chapter as we continue to study along this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 19, the Bible says this, "This finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps." I want to begin this morning by asking you a simple question. How do you respond? How do you respond when life gets hard, when things get tough? How do you respond when your life gets more difficult, when things in your life don't go as you expected them to go or how you wanted them to go? What do you do? How do you respond when life gets frustrating or irritating or exasperating or scary? How do you respond when life gets tough? And it seems to me that in those moments, we have one of two choices. We always have one of two choices. When life gets tough, we can let it change us. We can let our circumstances and what we're dealing with cause us to behave badly, cause us to behave in a way that God wouldn't have us to behave. And we would make those choices to behave badly in a way that God wouldn't want us to, because we believe that changing the way we behave is going to somehow make our life easier or smoother or less difficult than it's become. We can let it change us. Or two, when things get tough, we can continue doing what we know to be right. We can wait in our place and act the way that God, that we know God has asked us to act, even though it may make our life more difficult, even though it may not be what we think is best. We can stay in our place and wait in our place and practice patience. You know, that's what Peter is getting at here in this passage. He tells us in these verses that it pleases God when we bear up under sorrows. When, in other words, when sorrows come upon us, when life gets tough, when life gets challenging, we bear up under it. We don't let it change us. We don't act badly. We don't misbehave, but we continue doing what we know to be right. We bear up under sorrows, even when things get hard. And that Greek word there in verse 20 where he tells us to be patient. That Greek word there is interesting. The Greek word means to remain. It means to stay under. It means to wait in your place. Think about that for a second. The word patience means to wait in your place. It means to not start acting out of order. It means to not start living in a way differently than you know you ought to live. It means that instead of changing what you're doing and changing how you know you should behave, it means you stay where you are. You wait where you are. You keep doing what you know you should do. You don't change because of the toughness or the trials in your life. And if you rewind your Bible just a little bit, just a few verses, you see in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter gives us two great examples of that kind of wonderful patience, waiting in your place no matter what happens. You look at what he says in verse 13. 1 Peter 2 and verse 13, he tells the Christians that have been scattered abroad, "Submit yourself, for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. There, Peter says, you need to submit to the government. And in this case, he's telling them to submit to a government that does not treat them fairly. In many cases, he's telling them to submit to a government that is persecuting them and mistreating them for their faith. And so you see what he's saying there. He says, wait in your place. Don't act differently. Don't change what you're doing. Don't stop submitting to the government like God would have you do just because things are tough. Be patient. Wait in your place. You look at what he says in verse 18 as well, where Peter writes this, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. And so he tells those people who are servants, those people who are slaves, that they are to submit to their masters, even the ones that are harsh and cruel, not just the ones that treat them kindly, not just the ones that treat them fairly, but the ones that treat them terribly. Do what you need to do. Stay in your place. Wait patiently. And obviously, that's not to say that either of those things are okay or are acceptable. It's not okay for the government to persecute Christians. It's not okay for people to engage in slavery, right? We're not saying that those things are acceptable. But the message is that even when men do things that are unacceptable, even when things happen in my life that are tough or seem unfair, I need to wait in my place. I need to be patient and continue doing what I know I ought to do. So that's the question for us this morning. When things get tough, when life gets hard, when you think that things would get easier if you changed the way you behaved and stopped acting right, how do you respond? Do you change? Or do you wait in your place? That, brothers and sisters, ultimately is what it means to be patient. And I want you to notice this as well. Appreciate this with me. What's said in verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps. And one thing that verse helps us understand is that when it comes to patience, when it comes to waiting in our place and refusing to let our circumstances change the way that we behave, Jesus is our perfect example. He, above and beyond anyone else, shows us what it means to stay in our place when things get tough and irritating and frightening and exasperating. And so, for a few moments this morning, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to show you the perfect patience of Jesus. I'd like to show you the standard that he sets, the standard that we should strive for when it comes to being patient. So consider with me a few moments the patience, the perfect patience of Jesus. And notice this with me, first of all. I want to point this out at the beginning, that Jesus shows us that we must exercise patience with others. We must exercise patience with other people. And I got to be honest with you, if you're anything like me, that probably more than anything else we're going to talk about this morning is the area in which it is most difficult to exercise patience. We lose our patience with people. You know, brothers and sisters, we know how Jesus wants us to treat people. It's not rocket science to figure out what the Bible tells us to do when it comes to our treatment of other people. It's pretty simple and straightforward, right? We know that Jesus wants us to be kind and he wants us to be caring. We know that Jesus wants us to have compassion on other people, to feel for them and have sympathy and empathy. We know that Jesus wants us to serve others and have great concern for them. We know he wants us to show love for them. It's very easy when you read your Bible to figure out how Jesus wants us to treat other people. And honestly, when they behave and they act the way that they should act toward me, that's an easy thing to do. It's easy to serve you when you treat me right. It's easy to care for you when you care for me. It's easy. It's easy to be kind to you when you are kind to me. It's easy to treat people the way Jesus wants us to treat them when they behave. But what happens when they don't? You know, sometimes the way that other people act makes it extremely difficult to wait in our place and treat them the way that Jesus wants me to treat them. Sometimes the way that people act makes it tempting for me to lose my patience. Right? Sometimes people can be annoying. Just their manner of behavior, their manner of talking, their manner of acting can be annoying and irritating to me. And because of that, it makes me want to get out of my place and be unkind to them. And sometimes people can be forgetful and they can be irresponsible and they can be selfish. And when other people act like that, it makes me want to get out of my place and stop serving them the way I know that Jesus wants me to serve them. And especially in those moments when other people treat me badly, when they do me wrong, when they gossip about me, when they slander me, when they insult me, maybe when they use physical violence against me, that tempts me to get out of my place. That tempts me to want to stop loving for them or caring for them or wanting what is best for them. Sometimes when people don't act the way they need to act, we lose our patience with them. We get out of our place. We change the way we behave toward them. We don't treat them as we should. And what I want to show you is that in Jesus, He shows us a remarkable ability to be patient with people who are frustrating and irritating and exasperating and unkind. You know, don't think for a second that Jesus never got irritated by people. Don't think that He never got frustrated with people. When you read the Gospels, you see very clearly that He often does. And so you think about in Luke chapter 9, we read about how Jesus' disciples, they fail to cast a demon out of a man. And in Luke 9 and verse 41, Jesus expresses irritation at the fact that they have a lack of faith. And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Jesus is irritated by the fact that they don't have the faith they should have. He even says something that I think most people would never expect Jesus to say, right? "How long shall I be with you and put up with you?" That's not something we typically think of Jesus saying or think of Jesus feeling, but He felt that. He felt that frustration, that exasperation with the way that other people behaved. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus performs a miracle. He had just performed an amazing miracle by feeding the 4,000. But in spite of that miracle, the Pharisees demonstrate their incredible stubbornness by coming to Jesus and asking that He perform another sign. And Jesus in Mark 8 and verse 12 is frustrated by that. It says He was sighing deeply in His spirit. And He said, "Why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." And in that context, it's not just the Pharisees that Jesus is frustrated with. In Mark 8 and verse 17, He's frustrated with His disciples because they're not learning what they need to learn either. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you discuss the fact that you do not have bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart?" So you see, brothers and sisters, all throughout the Gospels, Jesus expresses frustration and agitation and irritation with the way that other people behave. But in spite of all of that, you see Him wait in His place. You see Him patiently endure it. He doesn't act unloving or kind. He doesn't give up on people. He doesn't lose His compassion for people. He doesn't stop serving people. He continues to teach and heal and preach and love. And that, brothers and sisters, is a standard that we need to strive to reach. Patience means waiting in our place. It means treating other people the way that Jesus wants us to treat them, no matter how they treat us, and no matter if we've been stuck in quarantine with them for 8 weeks. Jesus shows us that we must be patient with people. But check this out with me, secondly, that Jesus also shows us that we need to exercise patience in timing. You know, when Jesus came to earth, regarding his mission, we see several times that there was a timetable, right? And one of the more, at least to me, one of the more mysterious things about the teachings of Jesus is when he says this, when he says, my time is not yet come, right? Because that shows you there's a timetable, there's a schedule, there is a plan in place that we don't quite get to look into, that Jesus has to follow. He can't let this happen too soon. He can't engage in this when he wants to engage in this. He has to wait for the right time. My time has not yet come. And what I want you to appreciate about that is that there must have been times with Jesus being in a human body and experiencing the emotions and the thoughts that we experience in our human bodies, there must have been times when it must have been excruciating for him to have to wait. There must have been times when it must have been so difficult to not go on and do it, but instead to wait in his place and not do it right then. And you see that in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, there's a story about how Jesus' own brothers are doubting him. And they challenge him. And they tell him, they're about to go up to the Feast of Booths, and they tell Jesus, look, if you really are the Son of God, if you really are who you say you are, then what you'd really do is you'd go up to the Feast of Booths and you'd show yourself there. You'd prove to everybody that you are the Son of God. Go ahead and do it, Jesus. They're goading him. Go ahead and do it. Show who you really are, because they really don't believe in him. And even in spite of that, we learn this in John 7 and verse 6, that Jesus responds to them and says to them, my time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune. And so Jesus displays great patience by waiting in his place until the proper time. How many of us, were we in the same situation, would have looked at our brothers or our siblings and we would have said, you doubt me? Well, I'm going to go ahead and show you. But Jesus doesn't do that. He waits. He waits for the right time. You see this in Luke chapter 5, Luke 5 and verse 14, when Jesus has healed a leper. And even though he's performed this great act of healing, he tells the leper that he needs to not broadcast it everywhere. He ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. And so Jesus shows great patience by not broadcasting his power and his ability, and waiting for the right time. And you know, this occurred to me actually during Don's sermon last week. I thought he made a very insightful and great point. You want to think about, you know, last week Don talked about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and he talked about how in Luke chapter 2, the story of 12-year-old Jesus getting left behind in Jerusalem, and his parents come back to Jerusalem and they find him teaching the older people in the temple. And after that, we read this in Luke 2 and verse 51, where it says this, and he went down with them after these things. He went down and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And I want you to think about for a second what great patience that shows. For the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, the all-knowing and all-powerful Son of God, to remain in subjection to imperfect parents. I thank Don for bringing that out in his lesson last week. That's incredible patience, isn't it? That's incredible patience. That he remains in subjection to people that know less than him. He remains in subjection to people who are not perfect like he is. He remains in subjection until the time is right for him no longer to be in subjection. What we see in the life of Jesus, that he always waits for the right time. And that there must have been times when it wasn't easy for him to wait. There are times when it must have been excruciating. And sometimes we need to learn from that, brothers and sisters, that sometimes we need to exercise patience in the exact same way. Sometimes we need to wait in our place until the timing is right. When I think about that, the first thing that I really think about is I think about the lessons that the lessons that that holds for our young people. You know, middle schoolers, teenagers, high schoolers, people who are at home in their parents' house right now, I think there's a lesson in that for you. That Jesus wants you to wait in your place. That Jesus wants you, just like he did, he wants you to remain in subjection to your parents until the time is right for you to leave the house and go out on your own. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And it may be that right now, you're 15, you're 16, you're 17, and you think that you know so much more than your parents, and you think that there's no need for you to be in subjection to them. You think that you could go out on your own, and you'd be just fine. You don't need to be in subjection to your parents. You're beyond their advice. And even if that were true, which it most likely is not, the Bible shows us that we have to practice patience and timing. That even if you feel like you've got it all figured out, you still need to listen to mom and dad. You still need not just to listen to them, but to listen to them with honor and respect. To submit to them and do what they say, and don't cause them grief when they ask you to do something or do something a certain way. Even if you think you are beyond them and beyond their rule, you have to wait until the time is right. You have to exercise patience and timing. You need to wait in your place. And I also think that there's an important lesson for young people in that when it comes to sex. That Jesus needs you to wait in your place until the time and the circumstances are right for that to happen. You know, the Bible literally begs you in the book of the Song of Solomon in chapter 2 and verse 7, literally begs you to stay in your place when it comes to sex. The Bible says this, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you do not arouse or awake my love until she pleases. You need to stay in your place. And that can be really, really hard, especially when you're in the circumstance that you're in. That can be really, really hard when you have these feelings and these emotions that you cannot fully express. And that can be really hard when you have technology in the palm of your hand that makes it easier to engage in things like that. But you need to wait in your place and practice patience. The Bible literally begs you to practice patience and timing. And you'll be glad that you did. And of course, that idea that we need to exercise patience and timing, that does not just apply to kids. It also applies to adults, right? That as adults, we need to exercise patience and timing when it comes to how we spend our money. We need to make sure that we are good stewards of what we have, that we don't spend too much because we're trying to keep up with the Joneses or because we're trying to satisfy ourselves through gaining more material things. We need to stay in our place and make good decisions with our money. And maybe especially right now, that idea of exercising patience and timing applies to us when it comes to this coronavirus situation. That a lot of us may be chomping at the bit to get out and to get back to life as normal. And right now that just isn't something that we can do. That life isn't going to be normal right now. And that honestly, if I went back to doing things exactly the same way I did them before, it might be unloving or unthoughtful or selfish. And so we have to exercise patience and timing too. That's what Jesus shows us in his life, that we have to be patient with timing. That sometimes we can't do things when we want to do them in the way we want to do them. And we have to wait until the time is right. And let me share this with you finally. Jesus shows us with his life that we must exercise patience through suffering. We must exercise patience through suffering. I want you to think back to that definition we gave at the beginning. That patience is waiting in your place. It is waiting in your place, even when things get tough and irritating, frustrating, and painful. It's waiting in your place even when you think things would be better if I did things differently. And what I want to show you is that Jesus shows us that we need to be patient through suffering. That what we see in Jesus is we see the best example of all time. Of a person who waits in his place, even though his place was tough and frustrating and painful. In Matthew 27 and verse 38, the Bible tells us, at that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe in him." As Jesus hung there on the cross in unimaginable pain, Those who scorned him, they walked by and they mocked him and they pleaded with him in a joking way to come down off the cross to save himself, without realizing that that was something that Jesus had every ability to do. And yet what we read, what we understand when we read the Bible, is that Jesus had a place. That God wanted him on that cross. That we needed him on that cross. That even those who crucified him needed him on that cross. And once again, we know that without question, Jesus had every ability to come down off that cross. And Jesus, without question, had an enormous physical, carnal desire to come down off that cross. But despite the suffering, Jesus stays in his place and waits. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he died alone for you and me. And that, waiting on the cross, that may be the greatest example of patience that the world has ever or will ever seen. And that example of patience through suffering, that becomes our standard. It becomes our goal. We must learn to be patient through suffering like Jesus did. Because that's what suffering does. It tempts us to change. It tempts us to move. It tempts us to behave differently than we've been behaving, right? When we suffer through ridicule for our faith and for the way we live our lives, it tempts us to change. It tempts us to be less bold and more timid. When we suffer through incredible loss, it tempts us to give up our faith. When we suffer threat or even pain for our allegiance to Christ, it tempts us to leave him to avoid that suffering. But Jesus shows us that we must be patient through our suffering, that we must wait in our place. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 19, we read this: "For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. That's what Jesus shows us in his life, that we must be. We must be patient through suffering. And so let us observe and carefully watch the perfect example of patience that we've been given. Let us seek that standard, that we would be patient with others as Jesus was, that we would be patient in timing as Jesus shows us, and that we would be patient through suffering, that we would wait in our place and be the kind of people God has asked us to be, no matter what our circumstances are. And now, having that picture, there is one more question that I'd like to answer very, very quickly with you this morning. And that question is this: what is the secret to perfect patience? What enables Jesus to be so patient when we know if we were in his situation, we would fail? And I think to find the answer to that, we must go back. We must go back and look at the cross. Because the answer to that question, what's the secret to perfect patience, is this: the answer is faith, hope, and love. And when you go back to the cross and you look at some of the things that Jesus said as he was waiting in his place, you see that those are his three motivators, that those are the three things. Those are the three things that enable him to wait in his place. You see that Jesus waits in his place because he has great faith in God. As you see in Luke 23 and verse 46, and Jesus crying out with a loud voice said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus is able to wait in his place because he knows that he is committing his spirit into the hands of his Father. As we are told in 1 Peter chapter 2, right? He kept entrusting himself to God. So Jesus waits in his place because he has great faith in God. And we also see that Jesus waits in his place because he has a great hope in heaven. As you see in Luke 23 and verse 43, what he says to one of those robbers that was crucified alongside him, he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Jesus was able to wait in his place because he knew he had a hope, an expectation of what waited for him beyond death. And we see that Jesus waits patiently in place because of his amazing love. As we read in Luke 23 and verse 34, but Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. Jesus shows his amazing love. Jesus shows that the reason he is patient is because he loves these people, even the people who are crucifying him. Faith in God, hope of heaven, and love for others. Those are the keys to practicing the patience, the perfect patience of Jesus Christ. And it's important to note that right now, at this very time, Jesus is still practicing his perfect patience. The Bible tells us that we should not consider the fact that God has not come yet or that Jesus has not come back yet. We should not consider that as slackness, but we should consider it as the patience of God, because he is waiting patiently for us so that all may come to repentance. That's what Peter is going to say in his second epistle. So right now the world remains, not because Jesus is unable to come, but because he's waiting in his place, because he has love for you. And so if you're sitting wherever you're sitting right now and you realize that you've not done what you need to do to gain the benefit of the sacrifice, the death of Jesus Christ, then you need to make sure that you do something about that today. The Bible tells us that if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that if we're willing to repent of our sins that caused him to go to the cross in the first place, and we're willing to confess that belief before men, then we can be baptized in water to have our sins washed away, and we can rise to walk a new life, a new creature, one that is sinless and fit for the Holy Spirit of God. And so if you need to do that today, we pray that in some way you'll make that known to us, and we can help you in whatever way we can be saved, become a child of God today. Don't test the patience of Jesus any longer. Do what you know you need to do right now.